Amen. I remember as teenagers, that was my mom's song. This is Miss Story. This is her song. Forgot to mention the reason that we went to the Rangers game was to support them because they're the only Major League Baseball team that did not have a Pride Night. So that's the reasoning that we went over there to support them. We had a good time. Psalm chapter 34 in your Bibles, Book of Psalms. And I hope you're wide awake and enthusiastic this morning. We're going to be jumping around to different places. And I hope you're not hungry, because we're going to be talking about food. Why are y'all groaning? Talking about food. Oh, no. Seth, do you remember which two verses? Come on, man. We were at youth conference this week, and he opened his Bible to this chapter and said, all right, remember these two verses right here. You don't remember which ones they were? Ah, it's all right. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8 and verse 10. We're going to read these two verses right here. Verse 8 says, Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now jump to verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Now, way back in 2003, IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, started using a slogan that perfectly explains what I'm going to communicate in this first point right here. And I have for you a nice kind of fuzzy picture of IHOP that I got off of Google Images. Come hungry. How many of y'all know this one? Come hungry, leave happy. Come hungry, leave happy. They started using that in 2003, and it perfectly goes with what I'm trying to explain in this first point that I have for y'all this morning about food. Yes, about food. So I'm going to leave this right here, and hopefully the wind won't blow it off. Looks pretty good to me. All right. Come hungry, leave happy. And I like going to IHOP. Pancakes, it's good stuff, you know. They just recently changed their slogan now to, let's put a smile on your plate, and they kind of rebranded and stuff. But, you know, I like the come hungry, leave happy. It's actually an award-winning slogan that they used for several years. And I do enjoy IHOP, although IHOP is the only restaurant that I've actually walked out of for bad service. But that was back during COVID. That was during COVID when everything was just, it was rough. But I enjoy IHOP, and I like this slogan that they use, come hungry, leave happy. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about food. It does. It has a lot to say about food and uses pictures of food or pictures of water as allegories to relate to people how we should desire or how we should seek after God, right? It uses food all the time. It relates to us, just like these two verses that we read in chapter 34 of the book of Psalms. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you taste, or word for taste means to try the Lord, you will find out that he is, in fact, good. Once you taste him, he is good. No one has ever tasted God and found him to be anything other than good. God is good. Now, people have tried out church and said, that doesn't taste too good. They didn't like that, but that's not God's fault. That's our fault right there. If someone really tries God, if someone samples the Lord, they taste God, they will find him to be the best thing that they've ever put in their mouths. God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then in verse 10, also using a comparison that relates to us regarding food. It says the young lions do suffer hunger. There's seasons when, you know, out in the Serengeti. Ooh, that's not the word I was looking for. Out in the wilderness, something a little bit more simple. The Serengeti. Where's the Serengeti at? Africa? Thank you, Misheri. We're learning something this morning about safari, Serengeti, and all that stuff. Right, the lions are out there. There's seasons of time when they have to go without food. So they are suffering. There's points in time when they are, in fact, starving. Right? We'll try this again. If it falls off, then we're just going to move on. In the middle. Got to see. Got to get the proper angle right here. Okay. IHOP, come hungry, leave happy. Everybody is remembering that. Now we're talking about the lions. Back focus to verse 10. The lions lack during seasons where there's no food. They're starving for certain periods of time. They're famished. They are ravenous. Or as my papa says, they're not hungry. They're hungry. These lions are hungry. They go without food. But those that seek the Lord, those that seek God, those that are living righteous lives before the Lord will never have seasons where they are lacking nutrients. You will never have a season of God. If you are seeking the Lord, as it says in verse 10, you will not have a time that you are lacking where you are suffering hunger. A Christian who lives their life transformed, striving to live a life modeled after Christ, will never go hungry. They will never go hungry. They will never be in a place where they are starving. Why? Well, because God always satisfies. God always satisfies those who are hungry for Him. Which makes me think of another popular food slogan. You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers. Come on, help me out here. You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. How many of y'all like Snickers? Everybody likes Snickers. I'm going to put this up here too. Y'all can see this maybe. Here we go. Snickers satisfies. Their slogan started back in the 80s, and it started originally as, it's so satisfying. Snickers, it's so satisfying. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. Snickers satisfies. You're not you when you're hungry. Matthew 5, verse 6. You will not be who God made you to be until you go to Him. Until you grab the Snickers. Until you get God. And when you go to God, you will be satisfied. Because God satisfies. Snickers satisfied. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger. Again, relating to us the idea of hungering and thirst. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. For they shall be filled. Again, it's a picture of food, okay? Hungering and thirsting relates a strong desire or a craving for righteousness or craving for the things of God. And the word filled there means to supply food in abundance. Or, wouldn't you know it, to satisfy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. So Matthew 5, 6, can they be interpreted as happy is a Christian who craves God, who craves righteousness in every area of their life. Why? For, because if you have a strong desire for God, you will be satisfied with God. You will be filled. Take your Bibles again, turn to Psalms 81. Psalm 81. I know we just came from Psalms, but I'm preaching not you. So here we go. Psalm chapter 81, verse 10. Has anybody ever had a time in their life where you've eaten a meal and it just didn't satisfy you? Okay, so you have this meal, you've had it a ton of times, you've eaten it a bunch, and you've had it fixed a great way, and it's really just like, oh man, that hit the spot, right? Okay, that was satisfying, it's so satisfying. But then you have it again, and it just wasn't fixed the right way, it just didn't come out the way you wanted it to, and it just didn't satisfy like it had before, right? Am I the only one? Okay, all right, no, this just, it didn't satisfy. Are you haven't had a candy, or like a long time, like, oh man, I used to have that as a kid. That was so good. And then you go back and have it as a kid, and you're like, how did I eat that? Like, it's just, it was chalk, or, you know, it was disgusting. Like those little bottles. I forget what those are called, but it just came to my mind. Those little bottles, you like drink them and they burn your esophagus. Terrible. There are things in life that you have it several times, but every once in a while just doesn't satisfy what you're looking for. It just doesn't hit the spot, right? But those that seek God, those that hunger for God, taste and see, will find God always to be good, will always be satisfied with what God gives. We'll be satisfied because God satisfies. You're there in Psalm chapter 81. Look at verse 10. Let me get a drink real fast. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will what? Fill it. I will fill it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. If you open your mouth to God, he will not just feed you with a few crumbs. What does it say? Fill it. He will satisfy. He will provide in abundance. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, be filled. Open your mouth wide. God will satisfy your hunger. God will supply food in abundance. God satisfies. Are these helping y'all out this morning? Come hungry. And God? Okay, all right, there we go. Y'all are picking up good on this. You're doing good. You're helping me out. Now, there are two primary ways that God uses to feed us spiritual food. Two primary ways. Number one, this right here, reading your Bible. Personal Bible study. You get fed through personal Bible study. The other one is what we're doing right now, listening to preaching. Those are the two primary ways that God uses to feed a Christian. Personal Bible study, reading your Bible, and coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached. Reading our Bibles is us feeding ourselves. Going to church, coming to church, is listening to preaching and teaching, is the pastor preparing a meal for us to enjoy. You say, like a banquet that the pastor, well, might not be a banquet this morning, but I'll do the best I can. But both are needful, reading your Bible and coming to church and hearing the preaching. Both are needful for a Christian to maintain a healthy spiritual diet. Both. Not either or. Both. Okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's Timothy and Hebrews. There are two primary ways that we mess this up. God says, I have two primary ways of feeding you, and there's two ways that we usually mess this up. Either I can feed myself. I'll read my Bible. I don't have to go to church to be fed. I can feed myself. Or I'll go to church and get fed there, and so I don't have to read my Bible. That's the two primary ways. You have the obvious area of error of a Christian who does neither, but that's not in the main. The two primary errors or ways that we mess this up are reading your Bible but not going to church, or going to church but not reading your Bible. Both errors will lead you to lacking the nutrients that you need as a Christian. It will. Now, growing up, confession is good for the soul. Growing up, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to Sunday morning. Drug Sunday night, y'all have heard this before. Drug Sunday night, drug to Wednesday night, drug to Sunday school. I was drugged to all the church activities. You know, I was always there. I was always in church. But I'm thankful for that because even though I had to come to all the services and everything, it built in me a natural desire to be in the house of God. It is weird for me to miss church. It doesn't feel right. I don't understand when some Christians can miss 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row And then they come like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. That doesn't make sense to me. I have to be in church or it's just something's missing. But going through that, you can guess on which one of those two that I made a mistake on. I was in church. I was coming to church. But there were seasons of time where I did not read my Bible. Great seasons of time. As a teenager, as a kid, I'm getting fed at church. Don't need to read my Bible, or just neglected to read my Bible. I remember some points as a teenager, especially when we were meeting over like in the school over here, I remember I would be anxious like all week, I'd be off all week, just something wasn't right. But then Sunday would come and I'd hear the preaching and I would relax on Sundays. Now, I didn't know it then, but looking back, I know exactly what was happening. During the week, I was starving. I was starving myself, and then I'd get fed on Sundays and be like, oh, okay. I was starving myself. Well, then you have the reverse of that. And some of us are only going to a few services a month, and you might not recognize it, but you're starving yourself. You're starving yourself. God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Here's the two primary ways. Read your Bible, go to church. You do that and you will get the proper nutrients that you need. But you have to come to church in order to be filled. You have to come to the meal that the pastor prepares in order to receive all the nutrients that God has for you. It's not my plan, this is God's plan. It says, not either or, both. Read your Bible, personal study, and coming to church. And coming to church is more than just listening to a sermon. We can listen to a sermon online and get fed in that way, but coming to church is much, much more than that, okay? Coming to church is the people around you. Coming to church is the handshakes and the hugs. Coming to church is the praying for you, brother. Let me know if you need anything. Coming to church, it's the love and the comfort. And many wonder, why do I feel this way? Why am I anxious? Why am I discouraged? Why am I lonely? You're starving yourself. You're starving yourself by not fulfilling or not accomplishing both of the things that God says, this is how I will feed you. Personal study, Word of God, come to church. And we wonder why, man, I feel like I'm not getting the nutrients that I need. Got to be doing both. They that seek the Lord, Psalm chapter 34, verse 10, that we read earlier, they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Christians are given the nutrients they need by primarily by reading their Bible and going to church. Everything needs fuel in order to function. Everything needs fuel in order to function. Right, Micah? Good. Truck's got to have gas or diesel tech over there, all right? Okay, vehicles need fuel, all right? Plants need water, air, sun. A sailboat needs wind to fuel its sails. Animals and mankind, we need food. God designed things to need fuel in order to function. And the fuel for the Christian is the Word of God. And we get that primarily through personal study and hearing the Word of God preached. And if you don't receive the fuel, if you don't come to God's gas station, then you will just be dead in the water. You won't be able to get as much accomplished. A Christian without the fuel of the Word of God is like a weed eater without gas. Okay, and you can take that weed eater and you can smack the grass, but you're not going to cut a whole lot with it. You got to first put fuel into the weed eater or weed whacker for you Yankees out there. The Christian's fuel is the Word of God in God's gas station. It's right here. It says, come and be fueled, come and be filled, and be satisfied. Now, I have two very different children when it comes to food. Y'all are already laughing over there. Rinley eats like a bird. She is, you know, she's so delicate, I guess you could say, with her food, whatever. Wade, on the other hand, is a machine. Oh, man. He eats like a full-grown man sometimes. And I am not exaggerating. We will give Wade a larger helping of food than Rinley. And he will finish it before Rinley and beg for more food. You want more? Yes, yes, more. You've already eaten all of this and seconds and sometimes third. And you're still asking for more? Yes, more, more. Like, he doesn't know when to stop. Okay? He is a machine, and it's scary. It's scary. And without fail, it's funny. Without fail, whenever somebody babysits him, they will always say, "Man, that boy can eat." He's up with his grandparents up there, and she watched him during the week, and we got back with the teenagers in the afternoon. She's like, "Man, he can eat." He puts down some food, and it scares me because I'm already having nightmares of what he's going to be like when he's 15. If you eat like this when you're one, oh, man, it's easy. He eats everything. But Rinley, no. No, not her. She will only eat what she likes. She'll pick around. We'll have chicken pot pie. She'll eat all the crust. Everything else? Nope. Nope. We'll have her sit at the table for an extra hour. Not exaggerating. An hour. Sit at the table, eat your food. Sit back down, eat your food. And we'll ask, like, "Are you full yet?" She'll be like, "Yes, I'm full." And she does this. You hear it? It's full. It's full. Like, "No, no, no, come here. Come here. Let me feel the tummy. Nope, get back over there. You still got some more space in there." And she'll eat a few more bites and be like, "Okay, you know, you've eaten enough. So go put your food on the counter." She carries her plate over there and puts her plate. Then after this whole debacle of like an hour-long meal, Wade's already eaten seconds and thirds and is off playing now. Rinley's still trying to eat the little stuff that we gave her. And after this whole debacle, she puts her plate up. She'll be like, "Parents, you know, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack?" "You just said you were full. Like, we felt your tummy. You said it was full. You want a snack? Go get your plate over there. There's your snack." Goodness gracious. I remember when we figured out that Rinley was playing us with the meal stuff, you know. She'd ask for a snack, you know, mid-afternoon. And we give her a snack, you know, a cheese stick or something like that. And until we figured out that she was filling up on snacks and wasn't hungry for supper. All you parents, you've been there before. So we nipped that in the bud, thinking like, okay, we won't give her snacks and she'll be hungry for her chicken pot pie. No. Still, she's just like, takes forever to eat her food and just pick around and only eat what she likes. And we feel like we're making her starve, like we're starving the child because all she's eating is just the crust or just the bread, you know, whatever. Now, I'm not telling you all this so that you come up to me afterwards and be like, "Yo, I've got a fix to make your kid eat all this stuff." I'm not telling you to get advice for this. I have a spiritual point, okay? Christians don't like what they are served from the Word of God. We don't like it. We pick around the things that we like, and or pick around the things we don't like, and we just eat what we do like, right? Come on. Well, that convicting point, that doesn't taste too good, so I think I'll just slide that to the edge of the plate over here. I'll just leave that on the plate. Oh, that one truth, hospitality? Oh, yeah, I already do that one anyway. I enjoy that one. I'll go ahead and eat that one. That one tastes good to me. Most, and I do mean most, Christians are no better than my daughter, 3-year-old little girl, who hasn't learned to eat their vegetables yet. And before you think I'm talking about all the contemporary or modern Christianity out there, think again. I'm talking to New Heights Baptist Church. I'm talking to us in here today. We are no better than a 3-year-old toddler who hasn't learned how to eat what God gives us. And we pick around it. We can be such babies when it comes to applying the Word of God. Me too. Oh, you need more money for this? Ah, got money? That's no big deal. Oh, you want me to actually come and give my time? You want me to actually come and work and serve in the summer? Sorry, I've actually got more important things to do with my time. And we slide it off the plate and stick it in our chair, and hopefully God won't see that. But he does. I'm sorry, I can't eat that. I have allergies to service. Can't eat that one. We need to open our mouths wide and let God fill it with the things that he knows are good for us. Will all of it taste good? No. I have eaten a lot of things that, spiritually speaking, I've eaten a lot of things that did not taste good, and I know you have too. But by faith, we have to open our mouths wide and let God satisfy our souls with what we need, the nutrients that he has provided for us. Come hungry, and God will satisfy you, and you'll leave happy. Come hungry, leave happy, because God satisfies. I had a teacher in college who's a former pastor, and he actually came and preached here before, Brother Jamie Jett, for those of y'all who remember him. And he's my buddy. He's actually retiring after this year of teaching. And he teaches all the counseling classes. He's done a lot of counseling, and he's written several small books to help with counseling. I actually got to speak to him this week. I was writing the sermon, and I got to talk to him. I was like, hey, make sure I remember this right, because it's been 5 years since I graduated college. In counseling, do you still do this? He said, yeah. I was like, okay. When someone comes to him with a spiritual issue, his very first question, every time, his very first question is, how's your Bible reading? Because usually when there's a spiritual issue, it's because we're not getting fed. Okay? You're not feeding yourself the Word of God. That's his very first questions. He then usually assigns, after that first meeting, a simple project or simple assignment for them to do before their next meeting. And here's the assignment. It says, come to all the church services, every service, and take notes during the sermon. That's his first question, is how's your Bible reading? And then the assignment is, come to every service and take notes. If they don't do that, he doesn't have a second meeting with them. Say, oh, well, that's mean. He doesn't meet with them a second time. Why? Because they don't want change bad enough. I guess you could say they're not hungry enough for actual change. Because how you change, Christian, how we change, how we get fed is reading the Bible and coming to church. And not just coming to church because it pats yourself on the back. Oh, I came to church. I did my Christian duty today, coming to church and paying attention, staying awake. Everybody's, no one sleeping here? Okay. If we can't do the very basic things of Christianity to feed ourselves and come to dinner where the pastor feeds us, do we really have an appetite for God? Do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? If we can't read our Bibles and simply go to church, the two primary ways that God uses to feed Christians, then we are not hungering after righteousness. If that's you, you have a junk food diet. You have a junk food diet. Another phrase we hear about all the time with food is, you are what you eat. This originated with a French author in 1826 who wrote, tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are. It's then kind of morphed over time, and people use it to promote their diets or their health rules. But in the main, you are what you eat. It's true. And it's true for not just physical food. Okay? You can generally tell a lot about a Christian by their spiritual diet. Oh, that's judging. You can tell a lot about a Christian by their spiritual, or just a lot about a person by their diet. If someone goes to a rock concert, they are hungry for rock. If someone is hungering after righteousness, you're usually going to find them where? In church. It's not difficult to tell. Because people, when you fill your life with junk, you will not allow yourself to be filled with Christ. Okay, when you fill your life with junk food, you will not allow yourself to be filled with Christ. You can tell people's diets, and you can see it. It's pretty obvious. You're eating that. It's not good for you. Or I'm eating that. It's not good for you. Filling your life with junk will not allow you to be filled with Christ. People complain. I've heard this complaint before in college and then throughout my relatively short ministry. People complain about not getting fed in church. I've heard about friends leaving church. Well, I just wasn't getting fed. I just wasn't getting fed by the preaching. And it's always the preacher's fault that you're not getting fed. Well, have you ever thought that maybe if you're not feeling fed in church, it's because you have snacked on junk food all week and now don't have room for God's food on Sunday? Ever crossed your mind? You won't have room for God's food, for the food of heaven, if your belly is full of the world's food. You won't have room for it. And you better believe that the world is, in fact, feeding us. Absolutely. It's very obvious. TV, movies, social media, books, art, music, everything feeds our minds. It influences us. I found an article by New York Times, You Are What You Watch. You Are What You Watch. A study was conducted by an Italian economist, however you say that, Ruben Durante and his co-authors. They examined the introduction of a television network which specialized in light entertainment such as game shows featuring scantily clad women. They documented that this network devoted almost no programming to educational content and did not offer news in the early years of the network, whereas its main competitor devoted the majority of its airtime to news or educational material. They found that children raised in areas with greater access to this entertainment network had lower cognitive scores as adults by the equivalent of 3 to 4 IQ points. People more exposed to this network as children were also less likely to be civically engaged adults and more likely to vote for certain parties. So your values and principles will sway depending on which network you watch. That's what they found. They also did a study back in the 80s with Sesame Street. Sesame Street, which originally was 80% devoted to educational content, and found that kids who watched Sesame Street were smarter than the kids who did not watch Sesame Street. Even Sesame Street is feeding us. The music we listen to, the shows that we watch, social media, everything is feeding us. Well, how's your diet? How's your diet? In my own personal life, I know how TV and music have affected me. It's very easy to see it, okay? When you watch that show or you watch that movie, you start making those jokes that they make in that show. You start talking like this character or that character. You start quoting those things. When you listen to that music, it influences your thought. Even so, to the point, I've done a lot of research on this, that it affects what you wear. Like, what? Yeah. I used to have fun in college. I would try to guess what music people listen to by looking at their shoes. And I got pretty good at it. Yeah, looking at their shoes. Like, seriously? Yes. Amen. Y'all looking at me like, you're crazy. You cannot do that. All right, okay, somebody wears cowboy boots. What music do they listen to? Country. Okay, someone wears high top Converse. Pop, rock, okay? It's not that hard, okay? Now, it's just like, well, I have high top Converse. I don't listen to rock. Okay, generally speaking. You can tell a lot about people by what they wear. But music, TV, everything, it affects us. You start doing things that they do. The people that sing the songs. And you can get really good. You can get really good at playing the game of hiding the world's effects. You can get really good at it. You're with this crowd, you get really good at controlling what you say so you don't make those jokes. But when over here, when you're with this crowd, you make those jokes and get along and you switch back and forth and you're just playing the game. But it's still influencing you, it's still affecting you. Around this person, you talk and act this way. Around this person, you talk and act a whole different way. But you cannot, listen, you cannot eat junk food without it having an effect on your body in some way. It's going to have an effect. It's going to come out somewhere. There's a reason that they serve Gatorade on the sideline in sports. If they had a Frosty machine out there. Think about this. If they had a Frosty machine out there and you're just over there just going to town on the Frosty machine, your performance on the field is going to be greatly affected. That's why they have Gatorade and water at these things. You need electrolytes. Spiritual junk affects your spiritual performance. Spiritual junk affects your spiritual performance. You remember as a teenager, for many of us it's a few years ago, or for many of us it's a long time ago, for a few of us it's just a few years ago, whatever. But you would eat a peanut butter, marshmallow, fudge-covered brownie. Then your acne would break out, get pimples all over your face. If you're living in sin, if you eat junk food, it's going to show up somewhere. And Christian, it could show up on your face. You might not have the joy of the Lord. You might be grumpy. You might be easily irritated. You might be easily offended. Why? Junk food diet. You can allow junk into your life. You can eat junk food, but not without it having an effect on your spiritual walk. Now, will one Snickers bar kill you? No. Okay. Will one bad movie, will that destroy your spiritual walk with God? No, it won't. But it sure fire doesn't help. It doesn't help. Now, I would say that we need to try to imagine what eating junk food every night would do to us spiritually. Just imagine what it would do. But I don't have to say that because I don't have to say to imagine that because that's a lot of us. It's how we live every day. We get off work, we go home, eat supper, and turn on the TV and watch that sitcom and let it soak into our minds. Junk food diet. Am I saying that it's okay to watch those shows as long as you do it in moderation? Obviously not. Of course not. If it's wicked, you shouldn't be watching it at all. If it's sinful, if it's not glorifying to God, you shouldn't be watching it. But there's a far worse effect on your spiritual level if you're constantly and willingly eating junk food every night. There's a far greater effect. And I'm not here to promote a certain diet, like the billboard I saw this week coming back from Oklahoma City. It said, let my animals go. You know, go back to the Genesis diet. Hogwash. I like Snickers. I love cookies. Okay, I will take a cookie over ice cream. Glory, hallelujah. Ugh. I'm a cookie-holic, all right? But it's true that if you eat a sleeve of Oreos every evening, a whole sleeve, which I have done before in my life, finished a whole family pack of Oreos in, you know, I think 2 days. If you do that, it's going to show up somewhere. If you eat junk food every night as a Christian, spiritual junk, it's going to show up. It will show up. In my study of the sermon, I texted, where's Miss Gina? She's in children's church. Okay, I texted Miss Gina and I texted Caselyn, who both work with food or have more knowledge about food than I do. And I asked if it's true that the longer you go without junk food or the longer you go maintaining a balanced diet, the easier it gets. Okay, does it get easier the longer you go? This is what Miss Gina texted me. Yes. It does get easier because you lose your taste or your craving for those addicting foods. They also don't taste the same as you remember if you stayed away from them for quite some time. And she actually texted me that she ate a Snickers after not having one in a long time, and she said she couldn't finish it. It was disgusting. She had to throw it in the trash. So I know who won't be asking for my Snickers after service. Kaislin texted and said, the more good food you are able to give your body, the easier your body will recognize that it doesn't appreciate the less nutritious foods. The longer you maintain a balanced diet as a Christian, the longer that you hunger after righteousness and you maintain that, the easier it will be to avoid those worldly practices, to avoid the junk food that you used to eat. Not only that, but when you try to go back and enjoy those things that you used to enjoy, that junk that you used to enjoy, it will only leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. It will not satisfy you the way that it used to. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We need to focus our spiritual diets on the heavenly food that God provides for us, on the bread of life. John chapter 6, you're there. Jump with me in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27 says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. The rest of the chapter, Jesus explains in depth about the bread of life and that he is the bread. And in these verses here, the people were coming to Jesus because of the miracles, because of the food that he had given them, the physical food. But there's more than one type of meat that perishes. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, how do we do that? By hungering after eternal food, eternal bread, the bread of life, by craving righteous food. Labor not for the meat that perishes. Don't crave the world's diet. If you're hungry for the things of the world, you will be filled with the things of the world. It's pretty simple. If your appetite is primarily business, you are a businessman. You are primarily a businessman. If your taste is primarily in sports, then you are primarily a sports fan. If you are hungering after women, then you're an adulterer. If you're craving the latest gossip, you're a busybody. But if your appetite is primarily in Christ, if you consume the Word of God, if your appetite is for righteousness, then you will be a godly person. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We should crave, we should hunger for, we should desire godly food. Desire godly food. Psalms 42 verse 1 says, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I'm starving for God. I'm craving the Lord. But in order to have an appetite for God, we have to lay aside our cravings for the world. We have to lay aside, we have to get rid of our cravings for junk food. 1 Peter 2 verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, put down the Snickers. It's for a different point, but put down the junk food. Put down the world's junk. Put down the jealousy and pick up the joy of the Lord. Put down the bugles and pick up the Bible. Put down the whoppers and pick up the word. Put down your phone and pick up Christian fellowship. I know fellowship and phone don't start with the same letter, but I had to make it work. Hunger for God, for righteousness. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Babies desire food. Try going a few minutes without feeding them. Wade, he will let you know quick. Man, whew. They desire food. They have to have food. Do you have to have the word? And when you eat the word, the Bible says that ye will grow. That you're going to grow. That's why I was talking to the teenagers this morning, why reading your Bible, praying every day, the song, it's my favorite children's church song, because it applies literally to every area, every age of life. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Y'all are much better than what they did this morning. Fail. Layla was the only one that helped out. Good job, Layla. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. It applies to every age of life. If you don't receive the basic fuel of being a Christian by reading your Bible, by praying, you are going to shrink. You're going to starve. You have to have the fuel, the nutrients that God has planned for us. You eat what you're hungry for. You are what you eat. So hunger after righteousness. So, how balanced is your diet? How's your diet as a Christian? If you're like me, then you probably have some junk food in your spiritual life. There's a show a while back that Shalise and I were watching, and I knew it was junk food. But I let it go on a little bit, and I knew this is junk food. So finally, it took me too long, but finally I said, this is junk, we got to get this out, we got to stop watching it. And we stopped watching it mid-season. You didn't find out what happened at the end of the season? No. Why? It's junk food. Now, I wish I was like that with every negative influence in my life. I wish I could say, yeah, I noticed it was junk food and nipped it in the bud. I wish I could say that. But many times as Christians, we let it hang around a while and it hurts our spiritual health. Can you point to something in your life that you can say, it's junk food? If that's the case, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just keep watching that show on Saturday night? Or are you going to come to church hungry on Sunday? Are you going to keep going back for those secret Oreos that your wife doesn't know about, that secret sin? Are you going to throw those away and pick up the Bible? Are you going to keep hanging around those friends? Are you going to keep eating that junk food? Are you actually going to make changes to your diet, or are you just going to wait till January to start? Come to church hungry to hear from God. And if you come hungry, you will leave happy. Come to your Bible hungry to hear from the Word of God, to be fed something from God's word. And if you come hungry, you'll leave happy. Why? Because God satisfies. Open thy mouth wide, and I will satisfy. I will fill it. That's a promise of God right there. If you come hungry, you will leave happy because God satisfies. He will never cease to fill your soul, but he can't fill it if you don't come and open your mouth wide. He can't fill it. You are what you eat. So come hungry for righteousness, and you will be filled. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What junk food do you need to put down? Let's stand for prayer.